And as Pastor Johnston noted, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and our ushers can be sure that you receive one. Well, as we were on our way to church this morning in the car, we were looking at the sunshine on all the foliage, the beautiful sights of spring all around that have come, especially because of the liquid gold that has been falling from the skies here over the last few days, that is truly great wealth and great mercy from our God. And it not only makes things look beautiful, but it is wealth itself from heaven. And you contrast this with what's going on right now in California, where 2 years ago they had twice the amount of moisture that they needed. That moisture could have gone into the reservoirs, but for various political reasons and people who have a perspective on the environment where they think everything should just sort of be returned to nature, billions and billions of gallons of water was allowed simply to wash out to sea, and now they are in a very great drought. Friends, you have to be ready to receive gifts of God from heaven, and your life will reflect the way in which you receive the Word of God. And God's Word is going to be read and proclaimed from Luke chapter 8. And we're going to pray now that God would enable us to receive it with faith in our hearts. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're going to read your Word now, a section of it that's all about your Word. But not only about your Word, it's about those who hear. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open our ears, that you would open the soil of our hearts so that fertile soil might receive the seed and the rain that falls from heaven, and that it might bear fruit with patience. We pray, Lord, that you would give us grace, that we would take heed to how we hear, because this is your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 8, beginning in verse 16. This is God's word. "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he be pleased to write this upon our hearts today. Well, this week, my children and I took a little hearing test that you can do on websites. It's very basic. You start out and they start giving you frequencies, starting with higher frequencies, and you're supposed to raise your hand when you hear the sound. And of course, at about 18,000 hertz, children start hearing it. And I started hearing it at about 14,500. They say by the time it gets down to about 10,000, everyone over age 60 has no hearing left. All of this demonstrates that we're all losing our hearing. It's inevitable. Every single person in this room is losing cells that enable you to hear, which is why we need to protect our hearing. Why do we lose those the ability to hear those high-frequency noises? Well, it's because those are the first parts of the ear to receive damage from perhaps equipment that you use in your workplace, perhaps firearms that you've shot. Some of you have been around explosives in the military and these kinds of things that can destroy hearing. And others of you, some of us, all of us perhaps, willfully put headphones or earbuds in our ears and we crank the noise up, destroying what's there. Well, the reality of the matter is, whether you like it or not, you are losing your ability to hear because of our natural condition in this fallen world. And it's not simply something that's happening to us physically, but Jesus says here that it's happening spiritually. It's happening spiritually to people. Everyone hears with their ears, as we saw in the four types of soil in last week's message. But not everyone hears the word of God really and truly. So the question for those who are losing their hearing in this world is, how are you hearing spiritually? How are you hearing spiritually? Look, if you would, at verse 18. Jesus says, take care then how you hear. Take care then how you hear. You see, what Jesus is giving you here today through this passage is a hearing screening. It's a checkup. How is it that you are hearing? And the passage breaks down for us into two distinct portions that Luke puts before us. And we see as Luke puts these portions of Scripture together that this is not probably where they fell chronologically. They're out of order, or in a different order, rather, in the other Gospels. So we see here that Luke is deliberately putting these in place to help us think and to help us ask this kind of question. Am I one who is able to hear spiritually? Well, as we take up the first portion, we need to be asking this question. What is it that I'm hearing? What is it that I'm listening to? Everyone is listening, but what is everyone hearing? And Jesus begins with a little bit different metaphor. Look at verse 16. He says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. The first question we need to ask here, that Pastor Johnston alluded to, is what is the light? We see that in the Old Testament, God's word is a lamp to guide our feet, as Psalm 119 says. Is it God's word, or is it, as Jesus says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world? Is he speaking of himself here, coming into the world? Or is it in line with the same illustration that's used in Matthew chapter 5? You are the light of the world. Is he primarily here speaking of us now bearing witness to the truth that we've heard by the way that we live? Or is he refreshing our memory here to take a look at the one who has come to be the light? Well, the good news is they're all very closely related, and we won't be too far removed from the truth whichever way we go. But I think here Jesus is affirming what was taught in the Old Testament, that his word is that which brings light. And he, of course, is the one who is the word made flesh, that Jesus has come to bring light. And this light does its work of exposing, as we see in the following verses. But we know this is true of light in general. It's ridiculous to think, especially in a culture where energy would be so expensive, and it would be very difficult, in fact, even often to light a flame. It's ridiculous to think that you would light an oil lamp and then stick it under a bed or cover it up with a pot so that no one can see the light. God the Father went to very great expense sending his own Son into the world to be the light so that people might receive light. And Jesus is, after giving this parable of the sower, telling his disciples that he is the one who has come in order to shine light into the world. And what is it that this light does? But it reveals. It shows us what it is that we are like. Tim Keller says, if you serve a God that doesn't tell you things you don't like, you're probably serving a God who's simply a glorified image of yourself. But that's not the God that we serve, because the God that we serve shines His light into our lives and it exposes darkness. And Jesus, as the light, not only shows us our sin, but He also shows us the solution to that sin, which is His own perfect life and death and resurrection. And He's the one who has come to bring people out of darkness into the light and beauty of the gospel. And He says then, as the one who's come as the light of the world, that nothing is hidden that will not be manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Jesus has come to make the truth known. He's made not only the mysteries of the Old Testament known, as we see so often referred to in the Gospels, but here Jesus is pointing out that He has come to expose what is in the hearts of people. And you see, what happens every time God's Word is read and every time God's Word is proclaimed, every time God's Word is meditated upon, one of two things is happening. Either the Lord is exposing more and more faith, or He is exposing more and more unbelief. See, Jesus comes as the light that shines in the world, and what is it that He comes to do? He comes to make manifest what is hidden and to bring to light those things that are secret, to make them known. Now, as people, we very much value our privacy. People get up in arms when they realize that the National Security Administration is looking at their emails. And people are wondering, these encrypted emails and messages, why is it that they're able to read these? Well, interestingly, that's one of the same words that we have here. It's the word kryptos, a word for something that's hidden. It's encrypted. And what we love to do as people is to shield our lives from others. We like to hide things, actions, thoughts, meditations in our hearts that are sinful against God. And we want to believe that no one else sees those and that no one else knows those. But what Jesus says is that God has encryption-busting code to bring every single thing to light that you have ever thought, ever said, and ever done. He shines light into the lives of people so that these things are made manifest. And this is what He promised He was going to do. Even back in Ecclesiastes, He said, God, in Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." And Simeon, when he prophesied about the work that Jesus was going to do, he said that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed, would be made known through the Savior. And Ephesians chapter 5 confirms the same sort of thing. It says, "For it's shameful to speak of the things that wicked people do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" And we need Christ to shine on us. We need Christ to shine on us because His Word, which is living and active, as Hebrews says, pierces to places that nothing else can pierce. And then it goes on to say that no creature is hidden from God's sight, but we are all naked and exposed in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We're all naked, even though we think we're covering ourselves. Well, the Lord tells us kindly in this passage that He is the one who searches hearts. He's the one who shines light upon us. And friends, it's good for us to know that it is better to walk now with a clean conscience before the Lord and to hear God's Word rightly than to wait for that last great day when everything will be exposed. Far better to have your life come to the light now, to repent of your sins in the present than try to keep them encrypted, to keep them hidden, and to keep them from God and from others. So the Lord telling us this brings us then to this great point in verse 18, to take care then how you hear. Take care how you hear the word of God. And how is it that we're to hear the word of God? Well, he's been emphasizing our need to hear with faith and with belief, for us to receive the word of God with hearts that are filled with understanding. Well, how is it that we are to do this? Well, we need to pay careful attention to the word of God. We need to take heed to the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, rather, question 90, which says, how is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? And the answer is that the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. We need to be a people who are always looking for opportunities to hear the word of God. We need to be setting aside time each day to read the word of God, to be absorbing it into our lives. We need to be resting well on Saturday night so that we're ready to hear God's word, not only in the sermon on the Lord's Day, but to make the day a day of rest and to be able to soak in the word of God. Children, you need to be listening to your parents as the word of God is read in your homes and as they use it in your instruction. Take it in, because now is a time when your physical hearing is better than ever. You can hear, so make use of the opportunity that you have. John writes this at the end of his gospel. He says that he's written these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, if you're going to have eternal life, you must hear. Eternity hangs in the balance here. And that's why Jesus says, take care how you hear. And he points us then to this eternal horizon as we look at the last verse in this section. He says, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. The one who has, to that person more will be given. But to the one who simply thinks he already has something, even what he thinks he has is going to be taken away. When I was about 12 years old, I started taking piano lessons, and I took piano lessons for 3 solid months, and that was all. But it was enough for me to learn and to memorize 2 particular songs. One used 3 keys, one used all 8. And for years, I had those songs tucked away in my memory, and when people would ask, can you play the piano, I would be able to demonstrate I can. Well, about 15 years after I had stopped taking piano lessons, I hadn't played the piece in a little while, Joy to the World, and I stepped up to the piano to demonstrate that I could play the piano. And you know what? Even what I thought I had been taken away. And so it is with the Word of God, friends. If you think you can hear it once, you got the message, you believe it, and that's all you really need. You simply go and live life the way you want to live, and you believe that I prayed the prayer once and I'm set. Jesus is here telling you today, if that's the way you operate, even what you think you have will be taken away from you. And that may be revealed in this life, but if not here, it will be revealed in the last great day. So take care how you hear. But to the one who does hear and who keeps on hearing, what he has will be multiplied into more. It's a basic principle of investment. If you invest a dollar every day starting when you are 20 years old, and you keep investing a dollar every day until you retire, which dollar will make you more money? The dollar that you invested when you were 20 years old, or the dollar that you invested on one of the days when you were 50 years old? Basic principle of investment, right? The dollar you invested when you were 20 years old will be worth many, many times more than the dollar you invest when you're 50 years old. Children, this is a valuable lesson for you to learn, not only in terms of finances, but with respect to the Word of God. It's the Word that you children are taking in now that will bear the greatest fruit, and it's hard for you to see it right now. But the verses that you memorize, the Word of God that you tuck away in your hearts, the ones that you learn earliest will be the ones that some of you are recalling even when you have Alzheimer's 60, 70, and 80 years from now, and the Lord will still be using those in your life then. Which pieces of God's Word will yield the most fruit from now to the day you die? Friends, it's the word you take in today. And that's true for you regardless of what age you are. The word that will prove most profitable for the rest of your life will be the word that you receive today, if you receive it with faith. And that's why you need to be paying attention not only to sermons that you hear, but this very day that the Lord has set aside for meditating upon His word, you need to make the most of this opportunity. Because it, like every second of our day, is slipping away from us. The more we know of God's Word, you see, the more we take in, the more we're able to understand other parts of it. The more the investment grows, the more the investment is able to grow. So take care how you hear the Word of God. Commit yourself to absorbing it and listening to it. Look for opportunities to learn. One of those opportunities you have is the hermeneutics class, the principles of biblical interpretation that will be taught this coming fall by Dr. Denny Pruto when he's here teaching a seminary class on Friday nights and Saturday mornings. You want to be able to soak in more of God's Word? Commit yourself to learning the tools for being able to absorb God's Word. We as God's people have to be soaking in the Word of God. We have to be receiving it with faith and with love. And the more that we do, the more we will be able to understand. And this is what Solomon told his son in Proverbs chapter 1, the very beginning of that book. He says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtains guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." You want to be able to understand the riddles of Scripture, the deepest things? Take it in. Start today to learn the Word of God. So we need to be asking the question, what am I hearing? If we're going to evaluate how we're hearing, what is it that I'm listening to? Everyone is listening to something. Everyone is spending their time absorbing something with their ear. And you and I need to be absorbing and listening to the Word of God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop by just telling us that we need to hear. He goes on, and Luke uses this particular story of Jesus and his mother and his brothers to drive the point home that we need to ask a second question. And that second question is, what do you do with what you hear? Jesus is teaching in a particular house, and Luke only gives us the bare bones of the story. Someone comes and says, "Your mother and your brothers are looking for you." And Jesus says of Mary and his brothers, who it seems evident from the rest of the Gospels were not truly believing at this point, he says, using this as an illustration, that my mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it. How do you know when someone has heard you? How do you know when they've not only heard you with their ears, but they really got it? There are times in our household and in every household across this fine city when children are told by their parents, go mow the lawn, take out the trash, clean up your room. How do we know if the child heard? We know if the child heard by the word being done. You see, we know that the children hear with their ears, but do they hear with understanding? Well, the proof is in the pudding. And it's not just children. It's husbands who are told to go get vegetables at the store. The wives know and understand if the husband really heard by what they bring home. Is it from the produce section? Or was it from the junk food section, right? It's basic sort of thing. There's a difference between hearing and hearing. And we know that difference. And more significantly, friends, God knows that difference. And what Jesus is showing us here is that God's word is meant to be responded to. These are not idle words that are spoken so that people can sit in church and say, yep, that doctrine is good, that doctrine is true, I agree with that, and then turn around and walk out and live in an entirely different way. James says in James 1:22 and following, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You see, Jesus is looking for scribes, looking for servants, not scribes, as one commentator has said. Well, how is it that we're to respond to the Word of God? We're to respond as Jesus presents the truth to us. So, how should we respond when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented? That Jesus has come as a sacrifice for sinners. What is the correct response, friends? It is the correct response is one of faith, of saying, I will not rest in my own deeds, but I will trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we read about God's electing love, how is it that we respond as those who have ears to hear? Well, we confess that it is not we ourselves who have earned our salvation, but we confess that it is the grace of God that has given us what we have received. And we do so with humility. And when we hear the truth about God's effectual call, and how it is that he proclaims his word audibly through his messengers in the world, and he uses that word in an effectual way to awaken sinners through the work of regeneration, what is our response? What is it that we do about that? Well, we believe it such that we pray that God's effectual word would do what he has promised. We believe it such that we speak his word, believing that it will come to pass and that he will change hearts just as he has promised. And when we read in God's word of his great work of faith and repentance that he works in the hearts of people, how is it that we should respond? We should respond, as we've already noted, by not resting on our own deeds, but realizing that our whole hope of salvation is in receiving and resting upon Jesus alone for salvation, and that we are justified by grace through faith alone. And how is it that we respond then when we understand from the Word of God that God adopts people into his family? We rejoice that we have been made partakers, that we have been made members of this family, that we are counted as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And when we read of the sanctifying work of God in His people. What is it that we should do? We should labor to understand, not only to understand sanctification, but we should labor for it, that we would become doers of God's Word, that we would strive with all our might that has been given to us by God to please Him. And His commands, friends, are not burdensome. And they're not only not burdensome because Jesus is the one who has taken the curse of the law. Yes, He's done that. But His Word is not burdensome to us because He has made us members of His family. He gives us grace that we would delight in His law, and that we would delight in a gospel that calls us to obedience. And you see, as we understand God's Word in the way that He presents it to us, we begin to take great delight in doing it, recognizing that we do so out of gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And we grow then as we hear God's Word and He tells us of His providence in our lives. How is it that we respond in providence when everything in life seems to be going awry? Our children are perhaps screaming, and it seems like they've been screaming all day, such that we can't think. Or our boss has been screaming at us, at least in our own minds. How do we respond to these providences of God? We rest assured, as good listeners to the Word of God, that God is working all things together for our good, and that for whatever reason, He is using all of these circumstances to conform us more and more to the image of God. And we believe the promise that He who began a good work in us is going to complete that until the day of Jesus Christ. And how is it then that we receive and believe His Word when He teaches us that there is glorification to come? Well, we respond by understanding that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the sure promises of God, that as bad as anything may become in this world, we who believe in Jesus Christ can never, under any circumstance, ultimately have our joy taken away because of the great God that we serve. You see, we are called to be not only mere hearers of the Word, but Jesus says you will be marked as His children if you are not only hearers of His Word, but doers also. God's Word, as some have said so eloquently before, is not truly heard until it is truly done. How's your hearing? Is God's Word being heard and done in your life? He gives grace, friends, that it might. You see, He lavishes His grace on us through His Word so that we might respond. And the good news for us is that in our natural state, our hearing is dying and it is getting worse. But the good news of the gospel is this: that people in this room are hearing better and better and better. Your hearing, if you're hearing the Word of God truly, is not getting worse spiritually. Even though you may say, what? Physically. No, spiritually, your hearing is getting better, and this is the great hope of the believer, that we hear God's Word truly more and more, such that we recognize that we are marked as members of the family of God. His work is happening in our ears and in our hearts, and it is being demonstrated then through our hands and through our lips. Your hearing, friends, if you hear the Savior, will get better and better and better through the course of your life. And that is supernatural. That is something that comes from God alone. And God be praised for that. And that, friends, is something to become very excited about. It's something to be very excited to know that you will begin to look more and more like your elder brother. This is not, you see, a laborious thing to which we are called, but it is a glorious thing to which we are called, to hear and to believe the Word of God. So how are you hearing? Are you hearing better today than you were yesterday? May it be that God would give all of us grace to take care then how we hear. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you're the God who gives physical hearing and that you're the God who gives spiritual hearing. And we thank you, Lord, that that supernatural work is a work that you are delighted to do by the power of your Spirit so that we would be able to see the supernatural work that Jesus has done in coming to take away our sin through his life, death, and resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that your people would experience their union with Jesus Christ in more real and vital ways by being a people who take care how they hear. We pray, Lord, that in this place you would help us to see that this is not a matter that is light. It's not something to be trifled with, Lord, but that eternity hangs in the balance here. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give ears to hear. And then, Lord, that you would give us grace that we might demonstrate we've heard by doing your word. Lord, we pray that you would give us as your people ears to hear, that we might take care how we hear, so that we might hear and do your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.